Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption. We've been studying Paul. He's been magnifying the glory of God, beginning in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, all the way through verse 14. Paul is engaged in worship. He begins to praise God for everything. Everything he has done to save us and bless us in Jesus Christ. This is a long song of praise that ascends the heights of God's grace and his glory. Paul praises all three members of the Trinity for their part in salvation. In verses 3 through 6, Paul praises God the Father for his sovereign choice of us. In verses 7 to 10, he praises God the Son for his saving work. Then in verses 11 through 14, Paul praises God the Holy Spirit for his sharing work. Thus far in our study of this chapter, we've listened to Paul tell us that God is to be praised for his sovereign work. And in these verses before us today, we begin a study that God is to be praised for his saving work. We saw him in his sovereign work, why he should be praised. Now we will see why he should be praised for his saving work. In the verses that we're going to be studying in the next couple of days, Paul moves from God's work in the past to his work in the present. Paul moves from how God's plan was formulated in eternity past to how that plan is carried out in the present. So Paul moves from praising God for his sovereign work in eternity past as the elected, predestinated, and formed the body of Christ, to how he brings that body together in time. Up to now, we've been looking back. In these verses, we begin to look around. The verses before us today present us even more reasons to praise God. Ephesians should get you praising God. In these verses, as in the verses that came before, Paul continues to reveal all the riches of God's grace that are ours in Jesus Christ. I want you to see today that God is worthy to be praised for his great work in salvation. As I read in the beginning, in verse 7, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. When I was a child, my mother used to buy our groceries at stores that gave out S&H green stamps. These trading stamps were given out in exchange for dollars spent in the store. The stamps were taken home and then they were pasted in books. There was a catalog published by S&H green stamps that featured items that could be acquired in exchange for the books of green stamps. An item from the catalog was selected, the proper number of green stamps were collected, and then the books of stamps were taken to a redemption center and exchanged for the catalog item that the shopper wanted. Redemption is one of the central themes of the Bible. When we experience redemption, there is far more to it than just trading one item for another. Redemption isn't a trade. We do not collect enough of points to get God to let us off the hook. Redemption is a gift. A gift that God gives to us based on nothing we have to offer in return. While redemption is a gift to us, redemption was not free. It cost God far more than we can ever imagine. We're not talking about trading stamps here. Let's take a few minutes to examine God's redemption. And as we do, we'll come to understand why God is to be praised for his redemption. The idea of redemption was a common one in the ancient world. in the Roman Empire during the time of Paul, there were as many as 6 million slaves. The buying and selling of those slaves was big business. In fact, it was not uncommon for a family member or a friend to seek the release of a slave they cared about. And to make this happen, the individual would purchase the slave for himself and then grant that slave his or her freedom. The one releasing the slave would give the released one a certificate stating that they had been redeemed and released from their slavery. That document was proof that the former slave was now free. The former slave is now free. The Greek word used to describe that kind of transaction is lutreo. It means to effect the release of a slave by paying the redemption price. Paul says, we have redemption. In verse 7, it says, we have it. We have redemption. This means that those who are saved have been released from their slavery. You have been released from your slavery. Why do you still walk around as if a slave? Every person born into this world since the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden is a slave. No one's free. No one's free from sin or from its consequences. Every person born since Cain came into the world has been born with a sin nature. Every baby that comes into this world is born with a nature that is defiled, corrupt, evil, and completely separated from a holy God. Granted, a baby may be cute, but he is still defiled, corrupt, evil, and completely separated from a holy God. Children are not innocent. Every single person born into this world as a slave to sin faces the same fate. We're all destined to die. Is that not what the scripture tells us? In Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Death is the ultimate consequence of our slavery to sin. Every person in this world is a sinner by birth. Do you realize that? That cute little child is a sinner. Romans 3, verse 10. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. There's none who does good. No, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's some bad news. But the good news is Jesus Christ came to redeem a people unto himself. Each of us is guilty of sin, of committing sin. Sin is by nature and sin is by choice. According to Jesus Christ, because we're sinners, we're slaves to our sin. In John 8:34, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave of sin. Sin is a cruel master. Look no further than your TV set at the world around you. Sin is a cruel master. You see the wickedness, the horror, the destruction, the war, the death. Sin enslaves its victims and demands a high price for the release. It demands death as its price. Death is the price that had to be paid for man's redemption. That is exactly the price that Jesus Christ paid when he went to the cross to liberate us from our sins. Jesus gave himself, the innocent, for the guilty, so that the guilty might go free. Listen how the New Testament describes what Jesus did for us. And let me ask you if this doesn't cause you to praise Almighty God, if this doesn't cause you to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 1:3-4. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Redemption. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law said the wages of sin is death. But Christ has redeemed us, those that are his children, those that have been born again. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's why he died the death that he did. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You've been set free. Paul's saying to the Galatians, what are you doing? You've been set free. You've been redeemed. You're no longer a slave. Why are you entangling yourself again with a yoke of bondage? Why are you returning to that sin? Why are you returning to try to earn your salvation with God Almighty? Why? Colossians 1:13-14. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Notice, Christ has not only delivered you from the penalty of sin, he has delivered you from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Not going to, we have it through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, brothers and sisters, if this doesn't cause you to praise the Lord, you need to get saved and praise the Lord. This is great news. This is the gospel. Hebrews 2:14-15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He has delivered us from death. When Jesus Christ died in our place on the cross, he literally redeemed us from our sins. He shed his blood to satisfy God's just demands for us. God's just demands for our sin. He accomplished everything that was necessary to secure our freedom. If you look at some of the verses that speak of redemption, you begin to get an idea of all that God did for us when Christ died for our sins. Let me show you three verses. Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. The word redeems translates the word agorazo. Agorazo. This word means to do business in the marketplace, to purchase something for oneself. It was used for the person who entered the marketplace to purchase a slave. That is what Christ did when he died. He entered the marketplace of sin and paid the full price for our sin, purchasing us for himself. What good news. Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Once again, the word redeemed, that is the same word in Revelation 5:9. Except it has the word, the prefix X added to it. That word means to purchase something for oneself in the marketplace and then forever that something from the sale. He redeemed us forever. He's taken us out of slavery, redeemed us. When Jesus redeemed us, he not only paid the price of our redemption, he forever removed us from the sale. You can no longer be sold again, brother or sister. you can no longer be sold as a slave any longer. You must move from that identity you have as a slave to your new identity, one of being free, free in Christ, set free, redeemed, forever removed from the cell. He has purchased us. He owns us. And he never intends to allow us to be enslaved or sold under sin again. And lastly, 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. The slave has been released. The purchase price has been paid. The slave has been redeemed. What good news is that? You who were born a sinner by birth and by choice, Jesus Christ has redeemed if you be a child of God. And that ought to cause such praise to well up in you, such worship to come forth from you, such a dedication of your life to such a one that would redeem you. Just imagine the slave that was bought from the auction block and then set free, the love that he would have felt or she would have felt for the one that had purchased him or her. What love Christ has for us. What love the Father has for us. And if you've never experienced that love, if you know nothing of what I'm speaking of, because you've never come to Jesus Christ, based on the scripture, I would exhort you to come today to Christ. Christ says, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto myself. Do you see Christ there today? Do you see the one that hung on the cross, that hung on the tree, to die in your place, to purchase your redemption with his blood? Today, you can know of that redemption. Come, my friend, and be saved. Child of God, brothers and sisters, know your new identity in Christ and live in that and dwell in that all the days of your life.